podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome back to brand new TAT Pod. I hope everybody is doing well on this. Not so bright. Well, it is. It's on and off, isn't it, at the minute, this UK weather. But yeah, hope everyone's doing well on this Sunday evening. I'm here again with Mike and Elliot. Mike, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing great, brother. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all good, mate. Getting there. And Elliot?
I'm good. I'll keep the same vibe. We're all good. That's good.
I pretend to not be crying about the Fabinho and Henderson. We're all good, drivers, we're all good, but, you
know. Yeah. Well, we'll get there. First of all, everyone that's in here, smash the like button, subscribe to the channel. If you haven't, we're trying to get 2K as quick as we can. And also, as always, the TAT Pod is proudly sponsored by Your Foot Card. Look at these lovely cards you can create. You can, well, not him, but yeah, you can get Darwin Nunez. You can get any player in the world on any card. You can get yours, like your own card. I've got one up there. That was actually a birthday present before we even started working with this company. So that's a bit crazy. But yeah, these guys are amazing. They've been absolutely brilliant to us. So make sure you go check them out. You can get different size cards. They also do like banners, I think, as well, and artwork. They do everything. So check them out. Use TAT Pod in the discount when you put your code in at the end. Use TAT Pod, you get 15% off. And also, thanks to them, I know there's some FIFA sweats in this chat. We're giving away brand new copy of EAFC. It's gonna take a while to get used to calling it that, isn't it? But we're giving it away. So all you have to do is go on that, find that post on Twitter, retweet it, follow Your Foot Card, and subscribe to the channel, and you're in with a chance to win it. So yeah, there we go. You fancy getting a free copy of that? There you go. You're not going to have a better chance than that, are we? But let's get straight into it, guys. And since we've recorded, or since we've last did our show, not much has changed, really, in terms of the two players we discussed. We are going to get into the preseason stuff as well. We're going to discuss everything that's going on in terms of going to Germany and all of that stuff. But we are just going to touch on the two players at the start that are potentially going out of the doors. The first one that we're going to discuss is way more likely to happen at this stage than the other. And we did just get a little Fabrizio update this morning. Liverpool and El Etihad are discussing key details of the Fabinho deal, including installments, payment terms, and more after official proposal submitted. Fabinho has agreed terms after speaking to Nuno, but clubs need to negotiate details before the green light. Talks on even today. So, Mike, when you see that we are just going through those final details, mate, do you expect this to happen though?
Yeah, I do. I think that probably the biggest hiccup is we're going to either want an entire upfront payment or minimal sizing in terms of installments. Whereas due to their financial situation, I'm going to imagine that they are going to try and stagger this out as much as they can. I imagine it'll be a similar hiccup with the Jordan Henderson one as well. I feel like it's going to be a case of maybe we'll settle on 15 to 17, but we'll want it up front and they'll want to stagger it. Kind of a taste of our own medicine, no way, because we do love a good installment package when it comes to paying for a player. But yeah, I fully expect the Fabinho one to go through.
Yeah, fair enough. I completely agree. And Elliot, you probably share the same opinion. But yeah, talk about Fabinho, mate. If he was to leave on the back end of this this rumour, how would you feel about that, mate?
I've seen the reaction's been, I think, over the top. I don't know. Mike Schaefer's heard that, me.
But, no, I agree. I mean, we're on the same page.
Yeah, right. Okay, right. I don't think it's like, I mean, I think he was absolutely world class and probably the best defensive midfielder in the world for 2 to 3 years. Last season, he got dropped for percentage because he was shocking. And that's as nicely as I can put it. I don't think it's going to be too big of an issue to go and find a replacement. So the people's overreactions is, I think, just calm down. We're going to go through a transition phase anyway with Europa League, so you may as well use that to your advantage. And you've got a rare opportunity. You're going to get your money back, even if it isn't an instalment. Go and get it. Wish Fabinho well. Thank you for your services, but let's rebuild properly. And also, that's why I think they need to bite the bullet on Henderson now as well, even if it is, dare I say it, for free, because let's just go and do it properly.
Well, yeah, listen, for free might be a bit too much of a reason.
But if you're going to carry it, if you're going to do it, you might just need to bite the bullet now. I think to do it.
I see that, but I've got to push back because I think everyone's jumped the gun massively on the Henderson thing. I do. And I had a good chat with a lad named Ahmed, who's on Twitter a lot. And he's a good lad, Ahmed. I've got a lot of time for him. He's in the staunch get rid of Henderson camp, right? And it came out, what was it, 2 days ago? I think even Anfield Talk tweeted it. We tweeted it saying, Fabinho is asked to leave. So when Fabinho is asked to leave, I have not seen any kickoff. When Henderson asked to leave, I've seen a massive kickoff. Now, there are reasons why he's not comparable. You know, Henderson, what he stood for, you know, is very different to what Fabinho stood for. But when Henderson's, you know, requested to leave, a lot of the fans go, oh, he's going to da-da-da-da-da, he's going to ruin training for everyone, get him out as quickly as we can. Fabinho's asked. And everyone's turned around and gone, oh, but we need him. We need it. No, get rid of both. Like, I'm in firm camp, get rid of both. If we end up having to keep one, it is what it is. I wouldn't rather keep either. It's most likely we keep Henderson, but they both would serve the same purpose next season of being a bit part squad player that we bring in to see off game.
I think that's the worry with Fabinho. That's why the reaction with Fabinho has been so over the top, because it looked like they were going to go in with him as the first choice six, didn't it? On paper, it looked like that because he wanted Lavia and him. So, I mean, I can see why people may be worrying. And then the four names which get named, which William Evans, that Ben, okay, not in special, but I'm sorry, but I'm having Lavia and Amrabat over Fabinho after last season. And I'm trying not to be like horrible, but Fabinho was poor.
The thing is, though, I would say to that, and I thought the same thing first, and then I had a conversation with someone, and they actually said, you know what? Well, I said to them, you've got a point there. We're not actually trying to replace the Fabinho of last season.
Yeah, really. I've seen that.
We're trying to get, you know, a player that was like Fabinho, and the obvious one for me for that void, well, there's two, would have been Caicedo, not going to happen. Tchouaméni from Real Madrid, not going to happen. So I'm looking at those names that I've been linked with us now. By the way, if you do follow me on my personal Twitter, right, the Sanderberg tweet was just trolling, okay? I am not saying you should go inside Sanderberg. I got the reaction from that tweet that I was after. I was very happy about it. But, yeah, there's nobody really out there for me that moves the needle. And, look, I like Lavia. I like the look of Florentino. I've not seen him play, and I'll happily admit that. You know, I'm sure you guys will probably do that too, but there's a lot of experts out there that seem to know an awful lot about these players. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I'm exhausted watching every single Liverpool game, never mind Benfica games and all of that. So look, I think Fabinho's definitely gone. I think that's going to happen over the next few days. Henderson, yeah. I've got a really, really bad feeling he's going to stay, and I say bad feeling because I did want him to stay when this whole thing came out. But now I think it's gone way too far. I think now if he came back as the Liverpool captain, which I don't think he should, but if he did come back, I think it's going to be an absolute mess, because this is a player that had a meeting with Klopp, asked to leave, asked for the green light. He got the green light. He's agreed a deal. And if it doesn't go through now, that's because the clubs have failed to come to an agreement, not because Henderson's changed his mind. So we effectively now become Jordan Henderson's second choice, a backup. And for me, right, and I know Mike was saying, you know, a lot of people were angry over Henderson for leaving, or asking to leave, sorry. And I always said, if it's his decision and he feels like he's done enough here, you put that money in front of him, absolutely fair play. You go crack on, do what you need to do. But you can't, once that doesn't materialise, come back and expect the likes of me, who I've been defending you when everyone else has been criticizing you, to stick up for you this one more time, because I don't feel like I can do that anymore. I'm sorry, I just don't. Like, for me, you've asked to leave. You've, you know, I wouldn't say like all these people are destructed preseason. I don't buy any of that. Yeah. I feel like there's a process. And if you ask to leave, you just, yeah, exactly. You go and do your thing. You talk to who you need to talk to. You get it done in the background. It's not like a training session is going to be disrupted because Jordan Henderson wants to leave. That's not how it works.
No, he's also, he's a professional as well. Like, he's not someone who kicks off in front of people. Like, yeah, he's like most players are professional. I think, Ben, I know what you're saying, but All right, so I'll give you an example to, in terms of the forgiveness side of things, right? And to be very clear, I'll preface this by saying... Well, Jesus came back after 3 days. But the redemption arc, bro. No, but listen. All right, and I've got to preface this by saying, I know they're not similar in quality. I know they're not similar in impact. However, they are similar in terms of stature within Liverpool. So give me a minute before people bite my head off in the chat, right?
You're going to say, think.
Yeah, I don't know, you might. Gerrard. Okay, right. Yeah. No. Luis Suarez refused to train.
Right.
There you go. I never use a Gerrard comparison because there's a lot into that, which a lot of people don't even talk about. I mean, at the end of the day, Liverpool fans sent him death threats as well, which is fine that we don't talk about. I understand
that. Very small minority.
It's a very small minority, to be very clear, and they were also very people that knew him. There's a lot behind it. His autobiography talks all about it, right? But the Luis Suarez thing, and Yunus, you got a good point. He was not captain, I get that. But let me land, bro. I promise you. I promise you, bro. We're on the same page. But with Suarez, he refused to train, threw a massive hissy fit, had his whole PR team out in the papers begging him to go. Not even within a month of the window ending, everyone forgave him. And the reason was because he's striker, gets goals, obviously world-class, phenomenal. With Henderson, obviously he's not got that world-class attribute in terms of what he can provide for the team. But I think in terms of what he's given, what he's done, him coming back into the team, I don't think it'd be disruptive for the squad. The only people that would be disrupted are the people on Twitter that hate him already and fans like myself and Ben and, you know, yourself, Elliot, that have defended him and now look at him and go, I've lost a bit of respect for how you've handled the situation. But by no means would I boo him when he comes on the pitch. By no means would I, you know, wish him badly. It would just be a case for me of, right, okay, so we now know this is going to be your final season. Because, you know, it was clear in the summer you tried to go or were happy to leave. This is a swan song season. Which I'd put my hands up and be like, all right, just go give it your best for the final year and we'll see. You know, you get a send-off at the end, which you do kind of deserve as well. But everyone kind of needs everything to be so dramatic, whereas, like, he's asked to leave. So did Fabinho, so did Suarez, so did Coutinho, so did Sterling, so did Torres, so did all these players that we've all loved in the past. Gerrard, by the way, to be clear, did ask to fucking leave. He did ask to leave. I'm not going into this with everyone. Like, go back to it. Go do it. But it's just so annoying because it does feel targeted at times, and I think that's why I defend him. So I wouldn't defend it for the most part if I didn't feel like he's always been targeted.
Elliot, just before you go, this won't happen.
Obviously, no. I was literally going to say that. I will not, never. Carrier's got a round of applause. Let's not.
Yeah,
let's
no, that's not, true. That's true.
Create fake scenarios. But I think with the Henderson situation, I think there's a bigger problem. Maybe not with everyone, but I think he's kind of the whole, you know, LGBTQ situation. I think that's massive, and I think he's really kind of sold himself on that. And I do think that's a problem. And I think he's basically said, may as well have said, I am a hypocrite for all he stood for, and then he said, yeah, to go, and which is a problem. I mean, people may not see it as a bigger problem to themselves, but it is a problem. And then if he comes back, he looks a bit of a fool. But listen, okay, it's been done now. He's made his bed and he can lie in it. But we'll have to wait and see if a fee can be agreed.
Hopefully the fee does get agreed. I think we all agree.
I think we all bite the bullet. If you're going to do it.
I just think on the back of the LGBT stuff, I completely understand it. But I also feel like maybe there's a situation where people feel like they can go and work in a country because it's effectively his job and not agree with the morals completely. I mean, there's probably some laws here and, you know, that people disagree with and they still come to work here. So I completely get what you're saying and I completely understand how it will make him look like a fool.
I think it's a bit different because it's the biggest sport washing project you're going to probably likely see any sport. I think that's why it's a bit different. Yeah, and I'd say this. Henderson has specifically made himself this spokesperson for LGBTQ community. So I think it is a bit is different compared to the likes of, you know, Benzema, Kante, all that going over. That is still slightly disappointing. And I think every player going over there, that's disappointing. Everyone can have their opinion on that. But because that's the sport washing side of it. For Henderson, it's the LGBTQ side of it. And I think because it's a sport washing project, the biggest one you're likely going to see, I think it makes a big difference.
See, I will say, like, this is a weird statement to make. I don't necessarily look ill currently at what's going on out there with the football. I don't, because I kind of need to see how this plays out. Kind of the same way I watched it with China, same way I watched it with the US. Because what the US have done is they did try and do it, and then they went, right, we kind of need to reorganize our leagues, reorganize how we do it. And they kind of put a lot more money to grassroots. if the Saudi League start putting a load of money into grassroots, I'm not going to be mad at it. It depends what the knock-on effect of all this is, I think. But that's a whole different topic, I guess. But I do think it's a real grey area, because the whole work side of things, I get. Like, I have friends that have gone and worked out in Dubai. I've got a friend that's out there now. And, you know, I know his views on things, you know. And it's not like anyone, when he went out there, none of us went, how dare you go out there, da-da-da. But because footballers are put in this role model, celebrity-esque position, there are questions about it. But then at the same time, when a movie's shot out in Dubai, no one goes crazy. You know, when a music video shot out in Dubai, when boxers go out there to fight in Dubai, AJ went and fought out in the Middle East, you know, you never see the kickoff. With footballers, I'm not sure, just footballers in general, I'm not sure why there is a kickoff, but with Henderson specifically, it's apparent as to why. And it's like Elliot said, if you put yourself at the forefront of an activism, you know, activism like this, you like to think that the person at the forefront is going to continuously be aligned with that. Maybe if in the past he had played in one of these leagues and then came to the Prem and then started doing this, you can go, okay, so he's been over there, he's came, now he wants to make a difference, and now he continues on from here. You know, a change from the past to the present is one thing, but to change your views in this respect or to act in this way from present to future, it looks quite negative, I think. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair. I get where you're coming from. Let's get into some more comments. Coley says, I think both the deals are way too advanced for the club to refuse them. Klopp won't want players who aren't 100% committed. I completely agree with this. I think I've spoken to a few people, and I feel like ever since Klopp came in the first day, you know, his door's always been open for players. And if a player feels like they're even considering leaving the club, he's not going to stand in the way. He's, okay, fine, I don't want anybody here who's not 100% committed. If you're 90% committed, 95%, that's not good enough. He needs players that are 100% committed to this club, 100% committed to getting back to the level that we need to be, the standard that we set. And if for one moment Jordan Henderson and Fabinho, two players that are supposed to set those standards, are questioning whether they want to be here, he's not going to stand in the way. And that was reported from day one when David Ornstein and Fabrizio came out with those reports. They stated on those reports that, you know, if they can agree terms with the clubs, Liverpool won't necessarily make it hard for them to go. Now, I think the trouble comes with the Al Etifak club, because they aren't state-owned by, you know, the government like all the other clubs are, which is just very unfortunate for us. You know, Steven Gerrard has gone to Saudi Arabia. He's picked the brokest club out there. Now, Jordan Henderson's being bought by a Saudi club. It's the brokest club out there that want to buy him. So we've seen Chelsea get all this money for all their dead players, and finally some Saudi clubs coming for hours, and it's a bit more complicated. But Mike, if you know, what do you think is going to happen realistically with Jordan Henderson? Do you see, when the season starts, him being here in the match day squad, or like what happens, mate, next, in your opinion?
All right, if I look into my crystal ball, mate, I reckon. Hey, to be fair, when it comes to predictions, me and Elliot have done all right, you know. I do think
so
that
was like, I'm so proud of that. Hey,
you got that, man. You got that in the bag. I can't knock you. All right. I definitely have a shout in there. I said, right. It's somewhere in the history book.
You said Gravenberch.
I said, oh, never mind. Don't listen to a word I say.
Hey, he was on the list, so it's all
I said McAllister. Wait, no. I was saying McAllister before I even started.
Not for that question. Yeah, maybe on another show, yeah.
No, I'm lying. I started the pod and we were talking about McAllister straight away anyway. But no, I'll say this. My crystal ball is telling me that Henderson won't be here. I really don't think. Handled badly, Henderson. All right, fair. Look, we'll come on to the Salah VVD thing in a minute. But I do think, yeah, with Henderson, I don't think he'll be here. I don't think it's as bad as everyone makes it out to be on socials in terms of how he's, you know, is now within the squad. I don't think any player will have lost respect. I don't think Klopp would have lost respect. I imagine it was probably quite an amicable conversation of, you might not play as much, you won't play as much this coming season. Here's the reasons why. And he's probably gone, I fully appreciate that. I would like to play football. And I've got this offer on the table that's paying me, you know, double, triple my wage. It's hard to turn down. I think that's pretty fair in terms of how that conversation probably went. He goes, I think it's a when. I think when him and Fabinho are gone, it is about how we reinvest. And how we reinvest will tell you how we view this next season. I'm more than happy for us to go by, you know, a quality. I'd happily just go for Lafia. I'm going to be honest with you. I'll take Lafia and then go sign a top centre-back. If it means breaking the bank for Colwill, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with us doing that. I know a lot of people are like, go sign Barella, go sign a quality six. And I understand that and I get that. I don't look at
Barella's not season. The one now. We don't.
Yeah, Barella's not the one now. No. But just as an example, you know. But like, mm-hmm. If we go sign another six other than Lafia, it should be a squad playing six. It shouldn't be a world-class six that people are making out. It should be someone that can help the others around the squad, someone who's mature, that's experienced at the top level. Pavard would be a wonderful defensive signing in general. He can play across the back four and he's, you know, played the midfield a couple times as well. But we don't need a world-class six. And the reason I'm saying that isn't down to, you know, saying we don't need someone who can play the Fabinho role. It's because Lafia is the one that we should buy because he is someone who will become world-class over time. He just needs to be eased in. Sleepy, come on, man. Bit of positivity. We're gonna make top four next season. I'll put my bank on us making top four next season. I just don't think we'll win the league next season. Which Corner fans were 1-6 away from winning the league, which I don't see, but that's me.
Mm. Yeah, Elliot, just on the back of that, just talking about Henderson. If, say, hypothetically speaking, the season does start, he is a Liverpool player, he's been registered. Where do we go from there, mate? Is he the captain? Does he have that same leadership role? What do we do with Jordan Henderson, a player that doesn't want to be here but is here?
It's almost impossible to say what to do, but I'll tell you what I've done on my Football Manager yesterday. I took the captain off him. I had a couple of conversations with him and he was cast out. I still had Milner. I took the vice off Milner and Milner was fantastic about it. So maybe we should have kept him, but no. Seriously, I think it might just be worthwhile. I said bite the bullet with the transfer. You might be worthwhile biting the bullet with the captaincy now. Whether that would totally disrupt them in his mindset, I'd like to think not. As you said, Mikey's professional. He's led this team to every trophy. He loves the city, he loves the club, he loves the manager, he loves his teammates, he loves the fans. So I'd like to think he wouldn't. I really doubt he wouldn't go off on one if he would to just be respectfully told, listen, you've been told you're not getting as many minutes. You also want to leave. It makes sense to go and give it to Van Dijk or Trent or someone like that. And I think that might be the best way to go about it. In terms of his playing, I think it would just be the same. I don't think anything would change. He's still a squad player with or without the captain's armband. And it would just still make sense to take the captain and give it to someone who's in the starting 11 every single week.
Yeah, I agree. But I think probably the only question that someone would ask there, just in terms of inside the squad, would it cause more disruption to take the captaincy off Henderson?
Yeah, I know.
Because
the dynamics and stuff would like kind of jolt about and stuff. But
there will be people within the squad, like, forget fans for a minute. There'll be people within the squad that see Henderson as the captain, hands down.
Yeah.
I don't think the players won't
change their mind on him.
They'll
just shrug it off and they'll just get on with it. Nothing ever happened kind of thing. I just want to go through this comment before we are going to start talking about pre-season in a few moments. But I think this is a good point. I hope we don't pull a Chelsea, sign too many new players and have no chemistry. Is anybody concerned about that? We've already got Szoboszlai, we've got McAllister, Nunes is still settling in. Diaz is a little bit further on the line, but then we're going to get at least one more midfielder, one more defender, Elliot.
This is why I say do it now for the transitional season. You haven't got the pressures of a Champions League run. You've got Europa League. And I think this is why, I mean, maybe the chemistry might be a tad off. This is why pre-season is going to be interesting, especially with the new system. We'll get on to that. But I think you've got to do it. This is why I'm saying bite the bullet. You've got Europa League to even if you do sign, as you said, Michael Avia, and if you do another six, which I am adamantly need to do, even if that is another youngster instead of a maybe more experienced one, then you can bet them in and like rotate them with Europa League and you can get more confidence. And I just think maybe the only thing is, of course, everyone will say it, it's the risk of jeopardising the league campaign, but I don't think it is. I think if you sign quality, the quality will show on the pitch, and I think Liverpool will be in the top four. I don't think they'll win a league because it is a transition phase, and I think that makes sense.
Bouncing off that, I think when it comes to the argument as well about, you know, not running into what Chelsea have done, you know, or we've seen United do, where you sign too many, you know, quality players and you kind of have zero chemistry. I think the reason we're going to be able to avoid that is the way we've navigated the market so far, which is how I hope we continue, which is getting these players in early because it gives them that preseason. With Chelsea, yeah, they spent 250 mil, but it was scattered throughout the summer. And then they spent a further God knows how much in the January, where it was players constantly needing to embed, and they didn't get players out of the club either. So they ended up with like a near 30-man squad, which is not where we're at by any means. We've got rid of so many players, Yrox, Milner, Firmino, so on and so forth, where we have a lot of emptiness within the squad for people to fill. I think McAllister and Szoboszlai should embed quickly. McAllister's got Prem experience, of course. Szoboszlai, world-class quality. I think he will embed quickly as well. I think that's why it's important we buy someone with Prem experience for the six. If I'm being really precise, the reason for it, they're going to just bed in a bit quicker. And then the centre-back, it depends what type of centre-back whether we want. Do we want a left-sided to come in and replace Van Dijk within 12 months, or do we want someone to replace Van Dijk in 2 years? And that's where the cold world debate comes in, because I think replace Van Dijk in 12 to 18 months. Not.
I think it's more important to the left side centre-half rather than just replace Van Dijk. I know what you mean, but I think he's going to persist with that. And I don't think you want to use Robertson there really too much anyway.
True.
I'm not sure who we're going to sign. Like, I don't think anybody really has a clue. It wouldn't surprise either of us if Liverpool just go and pull a name out of the hat and it's just absolutely, you know, surprise to everyone, just like Szoboszlai was. But what I am pretty confident is that our model is not going to change. I think I've alluded to this. I don't know if it was on our show or another stream I was on, but I still think we're just going to go with that 40, 50 million pound sweet spot that we like to go with. I don't see Cowell coming in. I don't see us going for like a Tchouaméni or a Caicedo. And I'm not even mad about that. You know, if we can get those players that, you know, do hit that sort of sweet spot that we go with, that's absolutely fine. They're the kind of players that we've all asked for. You know, like, it's so easy to come on here and say, oh, we should have got a Haaland or we should have got an Mbappe. You know, yeah, they would have been absolutely dream signings. But, you know, we've seen in the past that these guys that cost this 40 to 60 million pound mark, they go on to be our best players. And, you know, no one's asking FSG to go and spend 100 million on each player that we need now. There's surely got to be players, and I'm confident that they'll have a list and they'll know who they want. Lavia is obviously going to be one of them, but I do believe if we get Lavia, we have to get somebody in as well that is a little bit more older, just because I think I've made this point again before. If we lose Thiago, which realistically is going to happen at some stage next season, let's not kid ourselves, we're down to kids and new players in the midfield. So it's like, what would happen then if we get to the Europa League semi-final against a great team that's dropped down from the Champions League? What would happen if, you know, we are going for the league, like, hypothetically speaking?
But what do you consider a kid?
To, like, March.
What do you consider a kid? Because Jones will be 23. Elliot will be 21.
They're not kids. They've been here for a while anyway. But, like, Lavia, Stefan, who's just come into things now. And then if you get
a two... area. Yeah.
A centre-back that's young. Just inexperience, really. So, I don't know. I'm a firm believer of experience. And just to touch on one more thing before we move on to the preseason stuff. Too many fans hate Hendo already. It will ramp up. To me, he's a legend. Look, everyone here believes Hendo's a legend. There's not one person that works or does anything for TAT or pretty much most the sensible people I know that would say that Jordan Henderson isn't a Liverpool legend. I say sensible because I know a lot of silly people on Twitter. But, yeah... Everyone knows this guy's a legend, the trophies that he's led us to. And I will say that because in 1920, he was absolutely unbelievable in the Premier League campaign. People like to sort of rewrite history just because he might be leaving or because he's not been good over the last 18 months when, you know, he was really good in those seasons where we did go. I mean, Barcelona, he was brilliant in that game too. So, I think, you know, some people will like to forget how good he's been and what he's done for this club, but nobody with any common sense will be able to doubt that he is a Liverpool legend. So, I'll just say that. Let's see if there's any more comments before we move on. Oh, this was absolutely... This was making me brain.
Oh, mate, I've seen you going off. I've seen you going off on Twitter.
Just to confirm, we all agree Fabinho is a Liverpool legend, right?
Well, there's no legends in this Liverpool squad, Ben. I thought that was a consensus,
Honestly.
It's lunacy. It's people that have started watching football in the last 12 months making comments about football. It drives me insane, bro.
That what?
Sorry, say that again. Gerrard is a title defender who didn't get a red. All right, Craig, you know what, mate? We'll have a quick conversation.
Title if he didn't slip on his backside, what are we doing here?
Oh, and then if you want to be more specific,
we did the mid-year late.
If Jamie Carragher didn't retire, we would have had the Premier League title. If Suarez didn't fight someone, we would have the, you know what I mean?
That Man City game at the Etihad.
If we could defend, if we weren't playing a back four, a Colo Torre, Skirtle, Kyriakos, it wasn't Kyriakos at that point.
Remember Kyriakos?
What a boy.
Well, let's move on to the preseason stuff, guys. There's 75 in it. I'm going to check how many likes are on. If it's less than 40, I'm not going to be very happy. So make sure you're smashing the like.
Don't want to see Ben when he's angry.
Yeah. We're on 21 likes. Come on, guys. Make sure you're smashing that like button.
Craig, I'm so sorry, bro. Craig meant it a different way. And we all roasted him, and I feel awful.
was that Craig that put that?
Oh, no. He definitely meant like Henderson was so pivotal, and then we've took that the complete... I'm so sorry, bro.
I wasn't slandering Stevie G. I was just making a point. Like, you can all do if this didn't happen, if that didn't happen. You think I would ever slander this man? No, never in my life. Come on, man.
Come on, we're not slandering Gerrard. We're not slandering. We're just having a joke. We're just having a joke, and we misinterpreted what. Ben,
I didn't even realize that was Craig that put that. Craig, you're free. Jump on, mate.
No, don't jump on. He's gonna fire us after. What we're
Listen, let's move on to preseason. I'm going to ask you guys a question, and I want everybody to answer in the chat as well. Who are you most looking forward to watching in terms of like a surprise player or somebody you think might have a good, you know, season for us? Like, that's not really proven. Who are you, like, who have you got your eyes on for the upcoming games? I'm going to go Mike first.
Ben Doak and Harvey Elliott, to be honest, are the two. And the reason for it is, you know, Elliot. I'll say Elliot. yeah, mate, Henderson. The reason for Elliot is because I think he's got. No, I wouldn't say he's got a lot to prove. I think he's just exciting. I'm so excited for what he can do.
Is Elliot going Germany?
No.
Isn't he here for preseason?
No, he's not here for Germany.
He'll be back, but I think he'll go Singapore.
Oh, scratch that, mate. I'm not awake. I'll probably say Conor Bradley then. So Conor Bradley and Doak would be my two. Conor Bradley, just because he did phenomenal at Bolton. And, you know, I think there's a lot of excitement around the club regarding him. And I think he is going to be our, you know, he's the backup right back for the season. So we're going to see him a lot. I do think he'll start every Europa League game. And then, you know, with Ben Doak, I think we're going to see a lot of him this season as well. There's a lot of hype around him as a player. And as long as we don't loan him out for the season, I think he's going to be quite the baller, to be fair. Because I remember his little cameos he made a couple times over the last 12 months, mate, and he looked electric. So, very excited by him.
I do agree with Doak. I've got a list of them here, so, you know, got me hopeful for Bahams again, like the lineup, the all-time start 11 one. But
there we go.
But I'm going to butcher his name, but Jarrell Quanish. He's a big lad, isn't he? And he was on there in Bristol Road. He was tough and tough. He was fantastic in the under-19 2022 Euros. I watched that and he scored the winner, I think, in the semi-final. I just think that's a young centre-half. He looks ready for like almost first-team football. Maybe not at Liverpool, could be a push. But I'm interested to see him in the pre-season, see how he fares, because we've got, you know, some good game. Well, in Germany, it's nice opposition, but, you know, you're moving on to the Leicesters and Bayerns. If he goes, I don't know if it's going to be the same squad going to Singapore or not. I imagine some names will drop off because it's a hefty squad of 32, I think it is, with Germany. And then another young one is Louis. I'm going to, again, I don't know how to pronounce the name. Louis Kumas. He's like really rated, apparently, and he's only 17, I think. Maybe just 18, and he's been picked already to go to Germany. Listen, I don't know how much these young lads are going to play, but it's always very fun and interesting, I feel like, with pre-season, especially the first two games, when you do two starting lineups in each half. I think it's always good fun. But for a bigger name, Darwin, it's got to be Nunes. I want to see him up front through the middle, and I want to see how he gets on. I know this is like going to be the thing with Gakpo's nailed on to start that, but you've got to put Nunes through the middle and see how he is this pre-season. I think that's so important.
Yeah, sorry to be boring. Mine is also Ben Doak. It was a Wolves game, I think it was, where he came on and he was absolutely—he was a menace. He was giving Mateus Nunes an absolute hard time down that right-hand side, and maybe that's why we didn't go in for Nunes after that. But I think Ben Doak, I think we've spoken about him before, and the word I used to describe him was fearless. I think he's just come on at that time. He was just 16 or maybe 17, I can't exactly remember, but the confidence that this boy was playing with was absolutely
ridiculous. Like, he would just always look to take a man on. You know, you sometimes see kids come into the scene and they're a bit within themselves. They want to play it safe. But he was just trying risky passes, taking his man on every time. And, yeah, he's somebody that I was always interested to see as soon as we signed him, to be fair, because I remember Celtic fans were not happy that they lost him because they really
thought a big figure for an 16-year-old as well, wasn't it? So yeah, I think exactly. He made his debut when he was 16 for Liverpool. That's weird.
I think it was against Aston Villa. Oh, was it Rangers? Oh,
I thought it was Derby.
Christ, mate, we're weak. One of us is right.
I'm on about for Celtic.
I think he made his debut for us at 16. You know, I think he was 16 when he was.
I remember he played against Rangers, and he lit up the show. Like, you know, a 16-year-old kid coming on doing that against Rangers in the big derby. Let's have a look at some comments. There's a lot of kind of Bradley stuff, and I think that's a big shout because, Mike was saying, he is going to be the backup right back. Who else am I thinking of? Stefan, I think, is a big one because you know, he at that time when he was playing, he was doing so well. And you know, I was absolutely devastated when I was working and the news came through that Stefan's out for the season. I was like, what? Like, how? That, we didn't see anything in a game to suggest that. But I think just to see how he can kick on from that, and you know, this is going to be his first. I know he's had a lot of time with the first team now, but this is like his, you know, first full season that's planned. Because let's not forget, Mike, just before you go, when he was playing all those games last season, he wasn't really in the plans to do that. And he was still incredible. So now he can get this pre-season behind him. Like, that's going to be massive for him, isn't it?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Sorry, you just caught me there when I was a bit of traps. So I'm going to throw there. I'm here. All right. Well, I'm not dying, boys. I'm here. It's going to be fantastic. My worry for him is the same worry I had for Elliot, which came to fruition with Elliot, which is we have this player, incredible talent, without a doubt. And give it 3 months of consistent football in and out, fans turn. And I don't get it. You see it happen all the time. A couple of bad games, a couple of mistakes here and there, maybe a couple of games where he goes ghost and fans turn. Because I've seen us have the same excitement for Elliot that we have for Doak, that we have for Stefan. And it can fade very quickly because of how people can be. I hope fans stay behind him. I really do. Because he's going to make mistakes. He's not going to be perfect. He's really not, especially in the position he plays in. There's a lot of room for error. We've seen that against Madrid. Which, I mean, listen, playing against Madrid at that age, you know, like he did very well for himself in that respect. I'm very excited by him. I was just wondering in my head, in terms of, we need a centre-back. We need a number six. Do you think, in any scheme of things, that there is any young centre-back, like the one mentioned by Elliot before, that could impress so much during pre-season that we go...
Well, maybe... he is the only one. I saw Kamessi. Well, he's not gone to Germany.
So let's say this guy kicks on. Do you think there's a potential that we go, let's give him the run? Because, I mean, you look at it, though, because last season, mate, if I said to you, number six, you know what I mean? We're going to have someone from the academy come through that we're all going to be buzzing about. We'd all gone, no, we need to go buy one. And we still need to go buy one. But, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, I'm saying devil's advocate. I'm not saying...
I get what you mean. I mean, I thought they were going to do with Sepp, to be honest. I thought they were going to give Sepp that role, you know, the Nat Phillips.
The Nat Phillips.
Is 21 next. So it's not like he's...
It's one of them, isn't it? Where I think you can give them a couple of years, and you know he's only had his loan for Bristol Rovers, I think it was last season. I think he looks really, really good. Again, as you said, 21 soon. It might be a bit of a push, but if he impresses, then I don't see why. That's got to leave. He's 26. He's got to leave. So you've got to have that role where you've got someone who's going to be happy that they're maybe not really there and maybe has that one or two club games to shine, basically. So I wouldn't be against that there, like having that player as a young one, but you've got to sign one. You can't have Robertson as a left-side centre-back when we know he can't. Not that he can't do it, he can do it, but he can't do it as well as someone who is a centre-half, because otherwise you'll see him charging up the field and there'll be gaps all over the place. So I do think it's very important.
The Anfield Talk, right, question. Is that Lila? Like, who's on the Anfield Talk right now?
No, I know who it is. There's only two people that have the logins, yeah.
Oh, really? The Nat Phillips propaganda. Listen, I will stand on this. I say this in the chats. I say this to all the boys on here, and I'll say it again. Say every pod, and Ben gets mad, and a little vein comes out of his head. Nat Phillips and Reece Williams are legends of the club, and they bled for this club to get fourth. If we didn't have that, we'd never have
to get fourth. But that doesn't mean that it should be playing in Big 2023. Come on, man. What are we doing?
Hey, start on third place. Nat Phillips, left side of centre back.
Oh, that'll be fine.
He's good on both feet, man.
Another player I'm going to throw out there who I was quite impressed with in the last preseason, Bobby Clark.
I think
he got a really nice assist. I can't remember who it was too. Was it Nunes?
Oh,
I can't remember.
We should have said favourite preseason game because my memory just goes to preseason.
Bobby Clark, I think, is a good one. And I think just those guys, Stefan, Bobby Clark, Bradley, maybe even Pitaluga, Stefan, I could just said him. But all these guys, Elliot, that you'd like to think, you know, at some stage this season, they're going to be playing, whether it be in the domestics or Europa League. So This is a huge chance for them, isn't it? To just show that, you know, they've got it. They don't need to go out on loan. They can stay here. And like you've always said in the last few pods, this season is a chance for them to sort of give it a go.
Compared to like every other season, I think that every young lad there will be going, you know what, we've got a chance to actually play competitive, possibly even European game, considering how bad the fourth tier team is in Europa League. But the Conference League is there, so the quality will be a bit, but you know, still be all right. But I think they should really take this with both feet and really like go for it. There's some young lads. I mean, Conor Bradley's one. He's absolutely like smashed it out the park. He's been sent out on loan. He's come back and, as you said, Mike, it looks like he's going to need the backup because Calvin Ramsey's gone. So these other young lads who haven't had the loan, they've got to probably impress here to get the loan and come back and then be that maybe. But I mean, Bobby Clark, he says good one, Pitaluga. There's a good shout for the keepers because they've took six, I think it is. They've took
that's
six.
Sure. Yeah, and Keller has linked with a move away as well. So
yeah, so there's a good
surely got to be thinking, I've got to make that spot mine.
Well, there's like a little battle, I think, because there's Jaros, Pitaluga, and I'm going to kill his name. Some Polish young kid.
Adrian's
again. Adrian's the Adrian role. It's like the Phillips role. He's just always there. He's like a statue.
Yeah, that one.
I didn't want to kill his name, but there's like a little good competition. I mean, if you're going to do two halves, so start 11s, they should all get some action. You get a little bit, you know, you just get to see all these like players who realistically will want to be playing in a few years' time. So it's interesting. But I think the Germany squad is much more like fitness and, you know, because the quality of opponents isn't, you know, fantastic, but it'd be nice to see. I think it's really important to go, just going back to the senior players. Diaz is one which I really, really important to see him be him again, if that makes sense, because the run-in, he was rusty, which is obviously fine. But you need to see him back to do like just electrifying people.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do.
Torturing people on the pitch, pretty much. I agree. I agree. I think, to be honest, something gets me quite excited about this preseason, and this sounds really mundane and obvious, but the fitness levels of some of our players, or the dedication to the fitness level of some of our players, at least in presentation, see how Trent is, you see how Darwin is. I don't know. It seems like some players have got this clear desire to prove a point. I think Trent and Darwin being the two main ones.
Well, it looked like Henderson was going to turn up and prove. Maybe he wants to prove that point now even more. So let's wait and see.
Yeah, exactly. I think players are coming into this season with a fire in their heart, which I quite appreciate. It's almost like quite under the underdog side of things within a lot of players. And I think that's going to benefit us. I really do. I think Salah will wear it on his sleeve all season, but I think players like Darwin, Trent, you know, even Van Dijk to an extent, I've got such a point to prove next year, this coming season. I just, I think it's a really exciting time, to be honest. But there's a lot of young players that I'm excited to see this preseason, definitely.
Yeah, completely agree with everything you guys have just been saying. Let me just go on to this real quick. Why did we walk away from the Usain Bolt Van de Ven? Not good enough. I think it was reported by a few people that we are looking above Van de Ven for a centre back. So maybe a step above. I'm not sure as to, you know, whether they thought that he was good enough or he could be good enough. But yeah, I would like to think that if we are going to bring in a centre back, it is somebody that's ready made, ready to start, rather than somebody that's, again, another project. Let's get on to the game itself then. Karlsruhe SC. I am going there on Wednesday. So I'm taking my laptop, I'm taking my mic, not this one, my snowball. So there's a chance we could do it on the night after. When it depends when I'm back at my hotel. But stay tuned for that. I'll let you guys know on TAT if we're going to do it or not. But it also depends on Wi-Fi as well, I guess, what the connection's like. But yeah, I'm really excited for it. Get the first glimpse, hopefully, of the new boys. I assume they're going to play 40 minutes max each. I wouldn't have thought they'd play the full game. But Mike, you're excited, mate, to finally see us, like, all the transfer stuff for 90 minutes can be put on hold and we can watch Liverpool once again.
Yeah. So excited, bro. Like, I think just as a normal human being, watching football is just such an enjoyment. You take your mind off things for 90 minutes, even in a preseason game, man. You get to focus on something else. And I think there's just quite a relieving about it, especially considering there's no worry about it. So if we lose 3-0 this time, I won't be bothered. I'll still be a little bit bothered. I can't wait for the... By the way, I will say this now. I look forward to rival fans making compilations of McAllister and Szoboszlai and Nunes.
Nunes again. Listen,
I look forward to them.
Did you not see the Mason Mount one?
I did see the Mason Mount one. And you'll know why I've seen it? Because you retweeted it. And in fact, I think you made it.
I didn't make it. No. I'll win. Get the impression on my cap when the share thing rolls out. But yeah, no, I didn't make it, unfortunately.
No, bro, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to watch the games. Because the thing is, as well, we'll see the formation we're going with. Because there's still questions about the formation we're playing next season. We're talking about a third centre-back. In this left centre-back, left-sided centre-back. We'll see that. Because watching who we play on the left of that defence and how they operate will be a topic of discussion. Because if we're playing an out-and-out left-back, or just even just a classic left-back, where maybe they don't bomb forward, but they just sit in a left-back position, it makes the conversation very different. Makes it very, very different. So, yeah, just very interested to see how we set up.
Yeah, no, I think that, to be honest, even if you don't want to mention the players, I think that's the most interesting thing. The most exciting thing as well, because if you see, like, do your back three of, like, Van Dijk, Matip, and then Gomez on the left, then you've got to go, you know the messages from the club there, they're going to go and sign another centre-half, because that's what they're going to do. And then if he goes back to a 4-3-3, I'll probably not watch the game and start crying. But, it's interesting to see what the mindset is, because I think he wants to have that option of a 4-3-3, but I think he wants to use the 3-2 whatever, as the main system. I think that will be kind of what he wants to go with this season. But it'll, again, be interesting to see how he does. I don't think this game will be the one to kind of judge that off, but it'll be very interesting to see if that is the go-to formation, even if he's playing all the kids.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah, I agree. And Johnny B. Red says, Ben, are you guys excited or nervous about the season with what's happening with Hendo and Fab? Listen, everything one way or another will take care of itself, mate. I go into every season with excitement and hope that we can go and do something. Sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong. And last season I was very wrong, but we've got an opportunity here to go on the street. And yeah, I mean, I'm seeing rumours on Twitter. I don't know how true it is about the Saudi club that want Fabinho are not willing to match our payment structure. Again, I'm no idea on the reliability of that. So if Fabinho does end up staying, again, I'll be annoyed about it. Exactly the same as I'm with Henderson. It would be a bit different because he's not the captain. But, you know, you've got Fabinho. You bring Lavia in. You have them both. Like, it's not the end of the world, is it? So, yeah, I'm a little bit apprehensive over those situations, mate. But at the same time, I'm very excited to see the guys go to the games and, you know, just enjoy it once again. So, yeah, I'm always excited in preseason. And like Zoe says, we've got the best man at the helm, Jurgen Klopp. Trust in him. Like, I always get stick. Well, last season, saying, "Oh, I was right." Until this man leaves the club, that's when I'd be worried. That's when I'll be concerned. As long as he's here, I'm absolutely fine. Don't worry.
I ain't looking forward to them pods, but I'll tell you now. When Klopp leaves,
it'll be interesting,
bro. I'll tell you what. Because at that point, you know, I know where this pod will be. So there'll be a lot of people listening, going, "Oh, I wonder what they think we should take." And one of us will say the stupid thing of going, "Well, Gerrard is available," and I'm not.
Yeah,
but no, man. Listen, I'm like Ben. I'm very excited for this season. There's no reason not to be. We've got good investment in the squad. Hopefully, more investment. Should be more investment. There's been a good turnover. I think players are hungry. We've got a new system. We've got young players coming through. We've got players about to touch their prime. So much to be excited about. And I think it's just going to be an exciting season to watch. I really do. So, yeah, I'm excited.
No, I can only back that. I mean, I think with the Henderson and Fabinho has made it more exciting because you know there's got to be something coming in. There's got to be something happening. Not to say it's exciting to see them go, like not to be horrible. They are legends of the club, but the fact it's all happening at once, I think it makes it more exciting, maybe more worrying for some people, but there's no point in looking at it like that. You may as well try and enjoy it whilst we're here.
Ben, have you seen the breaking news or can I break it? And this is genuine. So, TalkSport have just announced that Paulinho from Fulham, 40 million to West Ham, apparently is the price that is being negotiated. I will put this out there now and I will say, if we are selling Fab for 40, I would buy Paulinho for 40. I will put that there right now and I'll put my name on that. I think defensively, he was one of the best sixes in the league last season. And one of the reasons he got overlooked was because he played for Fulham. Simple as. And I'll put my name on that. He would be a very good squad, couple of years, top, decent six. He'd be like a Gini Wijnaldum-esque signing.
I agree with that, to be fair. But,
I like him. I do like him, but yeah. they'll want like 70 million. I can put money on.
They want 40. Apparently 40 isn't a negotiated price. So if West Ham are going in for 40...
Talk sports,
decent.
They said that Liverpool was going to sign Ryan Fraser in like 2019.
come on.
I'm not having Talk Sports.
I don't listen to Talk Sport either. They talk a lot of nonsense, but
But yeah, guys, that's all we've got time for today. We're going to wrap up there. Nice early one. We usually waffle on for ages, but we're going to leave it there. Please smash the like button on the way out, guys. Make, it just helps us out massively, especially if you subscribe, like the stream. It just helps more people see this on their YouTube page. So, in the next stream, we'll actually be talking about a game of football, and I cannot
wait. Thank God.
Can't wait.
Is he gone? Are we meant to say bye?
All right, okay, we're saying bye. All right. Listen, if you guys want to go on Spotify right now and type in Mike Quill Pressure, listen to that, because that's a great song and you should listen to it. Ben's left, so now me and Elliot are taking over. But listen, we're winning the league. Nothing's going wrong.
He's back.
Her boarding pass for tomorrow. She's putting it off since she just came over. But yeah, she's printed it off, bless her. Guys, smash the like button. I don't know what these two Muppets were saying.
It was a shameless plug.
Elliot just kept going on about silly things. And I was like, stop it. Let's wait for Ben to get back. And Elliot just kept going on and on. But, you know. Thank you guys for listening. This was fun.
Stream pressure, guys, on Spotify.
Stream right now. Go on Spotify. It's perfect for all your playlists. I'm telling you, it's worth it.
We'll be back on Wednesday, guys, to talk about the game. So take care and see you then.
Sports Social Podcast Network.